following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Butcher Box. Yes, we eat this stuff every day over here. You can choose from four curated boxes, or you can customize your own box. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. Stuff's good. You'll never be without your protein, and it's better than it needs to be. You'll find it's a higher quality than you expected. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. You can cancel anytime. Sign up now. $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of ground beef and two packs of bacon at butcherbox.com/Adam, or you can enter the promo code Adam at checkout. It's good. It's high quality. You can design your own box, or you can get the curated boxes. And 2 pounds of ground beef, two packs of bacon for free, and $20 off your first box. You can cancel anytime at butcherbox.com/Adam, or enter the promo code Adam at check out and save all of that money.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for November 23rd, 2019. Thanksgiving's just around the corner. But let's celebrate early with some clips. That's right. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Corolla Show, along with Corolla archivist Superfan Giovanni.
Feels like Thanksgiving is much later this year, even though it's always the last Thursday of the month. I just feel like it's fallen very late.
It is very late. It's later than usual. I agree. Now, just a few weeks ago, we had Ray Romano call in. And him and Adam talked about The Irishman and Ray's great acting career.
His dramatic turn after all the years of being a stand-up and on a sitcom, he's now known for his dramatic roles.
Yeah, which I actually appreciate. I'm all in with the Ray Romano dramatic acting.
Throw a beard on him, have him cry. It's my shit.
Me too. But he was in studio in 2012 and needed some mind beds.
Yeah, this is a weird one. It's Adam Carolla Show 824, Ray Romano, Tom Caltabiano, Teresa Strasser, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. It's from May of 2012. I remember this one very well. Ray Romano comes in. He tells him about his mind bets, how he essentially gambles with himself to better himself, kind of. And Teresa's in the studio, and they do a little bit of out-of-order news. Very good episode. A little bit of both patched together. Enjoy.
Good day, Teresa Strasser.
Good day, Adam Carolla.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Well, hello. Changing it up just a tiny bit.
You sounded like you're a character from the 40s, possibly the 30s. Oh, there was actually a little...
That's what I'm going for.
What was Mr. Drysdale's... Mr. Drysdale's...
Well, hello!
Yeah, it was like we're doing one of those morning radio shows from the 30s, where it was like tea with Adam and Allison.
I would love to do that. But you know who would be sad? Jill Zarin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was our show called?
Hot Cup of Jill with Ace Over Easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she never knew what we were doing. Yeah.
No, she didn't.
yeah, that was our show. All right. Yeah, she had no idea. Her pitch to me, Teresa Strasser, when I went... I went and did Andy Cohen's show. Ugh. The gays and my wife were so insane with this Andy Cohen business.
He's gay!
You know? And
he's a hero because, Adam, they said he'd never be on TV. He has walleye.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I went into his... Anyway, it was a big deal. So I went in there with Jill Zarin, and then when we were done... She did that thing that all crazed narcissists do where they go, you're really funny. You know, by the way, I'm 47 years old.
Thank you.
I've been doing comedy for 20 years. You're funny. And then you go, thanks. It was nice. Yeah, you're good too. It's good work. Hey, seriously, you're funny. Like, you don't realize I'm telling you you're funny. Right. This is not
just anyone assessing your comedic ability.
Drink it in.
Right, right. It's a super narcissistic move that they don't realize is narcissistic because they think it's magnanimous because they grab your arm for the second one. They go, you don't understand. I have come down from the mountain with these tablets that say you're funny on it. And it's like, oh, you think I'm funny.
Yeah, well, what is the response supposed to be?
Let me get my fucking agent manager on the phone. This is completely
because
different
Because they
thing.
Were thinking you were more of like a Laurence Olivier and kind of pitching you that way.
It's
as
so
a dramatic
weird.
Guy.
Like, okay, you had no idea what I did before this, but now you have an idea of what I do. Thank you for the compliment. Now I'm going to go have another drink and we'll move on. And it's like, no, you don't get it. I think something of you is really what it is.
A decree,
right,
about you.
Yes. So I was like, thanks a lot. And then at some point she said, we need to do a show together, you and me. And I said, yeah, what kind of show? And she said, the reason we're so good together, we're so good. Well, by the way, it'd be like saying Jerry Seinfeld was really good with that stool that he was resting his water on when he did that 90-minute set. Like, yeah, or he could have just put the thing on the ground. It wouldn't matter. That was all Seinfeld. But she was like, you're funny, and I don't get comedy. And you can ask, what's her husband's name? Because it's great.
Bobby.
Ask Bobby.
Where's Bobby?
Ask Bobby.
It's a hit!
By the way, if you say you don't get comedy or your pussy stinks, I don't have to go clear it with your husband. Right. I'll take your word for it. You know what I mean? If you said that you were this close to the Olympics women's softball team in 1984, then I'll ask Bobby. But if you say something that's wildly uncomplimentary,
right,
I don't need to check it. Like if some guy says, I'm a registered sex offender, you want to talk to my parole officer? I'll be like, no, yeah. I got you. I heard you. I wouldn't go, get the fuck out of here. Right. No
you?
Way.
What,
yeah.
Like kids or grown-ups? Because you don't look that rapey.
I want to talk to a guy who wears his badge on his belt and get some confirmation. That's a weird
You're
thing.
You're a pathologically self-deprecating liar.
There's badge on the chest, there's badge in the wallet, and then there's badge on the belt guy.
Yeah, what is
I'm
that?
I'm curious who that... That's I'm in law enforcement, but maybe not for the long haul.
Yeah.
Or I...
Dabbling.
You know, I like it, I don't love it. Or something. I don't know.
Or you didn't define me.
I don't know what it is, but there's in the there's on the chest, there's in the wallet, then there's on the thing. So she was explaining to me that we'd make a hell of a team because I'm funny and she doesn't get humor. And it'd really be like we'd make a hell of a crew team because you got a huge back and I have no arms. Basically what she was pitching me. So she's excited.
Yeah, it's like she was telling you why in her head it seems like a good idea for her. That's how narcissistic that
yes.
compliment is.
Yes. All right. Let's see. So Ray Romano and company coming in here. Just watched their documentary. I'll tell you all about that when they show up. Teresa Strasser has got a little, I don't know, what'd you bring with you?
Parents of the Week.
Exploiting My Baby, name of the book, available on Amazon. And you know what to do with Amazon, baby. You go to adamcarolla.com and you click on the Amazon banner and you put a little air in the pirate ship sails. All right, shall you get started with a little of that?
Let's.
ExploitingMyBaby.com, by the way.
Teresa Strasser presents Parents of the Week.
You're the best mom in the whole world.
It's a great week for awful parenting. A lot of talk about the boob on the cover of Time magazine, but there are many, many other boobs.
Mm.
Clint Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to talk about the boob?
Well, no. I'm just kind of thinking about the boob and then the gay halo on Barack Obama and all
right.
that kind of stuff. And I've realized, I've always said this. I think we're out of problems.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is kind of like, it's like you're just sitting alone. We're sitting alone in our jail cell. And we don't have much that can move our meter anymore. Like, we've seen it all. You can go on the internet and see color, you know, high-def footage of just about anything you want to see. It takes us a lot. So I feel like we're just sitting in a cell just putting cigarettes out on our inner thigh.
Just to feel something.
Just to feel something.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a found room of money, though, for time, though. Because it's like you can go on the internet and you can see someone decapitating someone
right.
with a pigeon, probably.
Right.
Which would be difficult and disgusting.
Yeah.
And yet,
you'd
just
have to freeze the pigeon.
Yeah. Just,
ride it.
Yeah. Just the image of someone nursing has the whole country up in arms. Granted,
yeah.
the child's old.
Except for, I don't think anyone's up in arms. There's like five people that are up in arms, and then there's the rest of us talking about those
yes.
who are up in arms.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's usually the way it goes, and it's also a mission accomplished.
Right.
It's like that fucking thing where the guy has the crazy tattoo on his neck, and he has those big earrings. You know, those guys who do those things where they pierce
yeah.
their earrings, and they punch them out with like PVC Ugh. Pipes, so it's like you could fuck them, and it's like, the hell are you doing? And the next thing you realize, oh, we've been talking about this asshole for 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then you go, fuck, mission accomplished.
Yes, this is
Kardashians.
Why...
Yes.
Yes. Mission
the
wasn't the Kardashians, exactly. And I didn't find it that interesting, and she didn't even crack my top three parents of the week. One does think about that kid, and when his high school friends Google him, and they see little what's-his-nose
right.
nursing his hot mom on the stool, it's probably not going to be a great moment for him.
No, but he's going to grow up probably feeling a certain way about himself that's going to be so powerful that it will not be
I
able to
agree.
Be pierced.
So let's talk about actual bad parents, because all that woman did was nurse her kid. Mm. Clint Ross is just a regular 23-year-old guy. He wants to go out, maybe meet a pretty girl, maybe catch the Avengers at the local cinema. I don't know what he wants to do, but he has a problem. Who's two and who's his daughter?
Mm-hmm.
He could call relatives to maybe look after his daughter, or he could get a sitter, or he could call police and say, look at this child I just found in the stroller.
Ah.
I don't know whose she is, but I'm a good Samaritan, and I'd like a pat on the back, and I can still make it to the 8:30 show, and here you go. So he turns his 2-year-old kid over to the cops.
Interesting.
And he's done. With her. And they take her to the hospital. She's fine. And then they put her in foster care. A week goes by.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I see.
Week goes by and he starts to have second thoughts. Maybe that was extreme.
Where's Mama?
No telling where Mama is. She is not mentioned in the story.
Definitely not a Jew.
I have a feeling he's not a Jew, although Ross could go either way. Clint?
Jeff Ross's real last name is Lipschultz, by the way.
See, that's what was making me think. But there are a lot of Jewish Rosses that have shortened it. This guy went to the cops a week later. My bad. That kid I turned in that I said I found.
Oh,
that was my kid.
Marion Ross, by the way, from
Happy Ross.
From Happy
Mrs.
Days.
C.
First name, Jewyton.
That
Ross.
Wow.
Jewyton Esther Ross.
Yeah.
Did not even know that. Yes,
I
sorry.
I wasn't aware of that.
So he goes back to collect this kid.
Well, he goes back to tell the cops that was my bad. It was a hoax, and that wasn't exactly just a strange kid I found. It was my kid. And they were a bit suspicious since he had given them a fake name and phone number. Kid's already gone in foster care, and they're going to do an investigation. And he did say to police that he was angry that day. He had a bad day. He regretted it, and maybe he should have left her with the relatives.
Don't you think, because we're talking about this the other day, that there must be a lot of third grade school teacher's name with the last name of Carriage.
Right.
And so there's a lot of miscarriages out there. There's
got
to be a lot. Foster's a wildly popular last name.
Sure. Foster so, the people.
So there has to be a different.
Bananas
there
Foster.
There should come up with a different last name. I mean, at any given time, there's 10 guys in the NFL with the last name Foster.
They're all foster kids.
It's confusing. And so it's like we're foster parents or the parents of the foster kids or something like that. Like that, there must be a fucking lot of who's on first confusion with that. They should give it. They've got to come up with a different name other than a very popular and commonly used last name. Last name for this.
Well, what should they call the foster kids?
I
mean, something that's on the nose, like
I don't know, like recycles or
secondhand,
off-brand.
You do
pre-parented.
You do what they do in the
lightly parented
in the networks. There's two things they do. They don't call cars used cars. They call them previously owned,
right.
And they don't call they don't say reruns. They say repurposed. So I'd say the repurposed or previously owned kits.
Certified pre-owned.
Yeah.
It's like how a long time ago I said sluts should rebrand themselves pre-fucked.
I like that.
No. But at the where you buy the certified pre-whatever.
Owned.
Yes.
Yeah.
They check them out thoroughly, right? So they do an all points inspection.
Yeah.
It's like CarMax.
Right. So you can know that your lightly used child is basically in good running condition.
Yeah. I always think those,
kick the tires.
Those people, I always think they're saints, but then there's always a part of me that wouldn't want to hang out with them. You know
the
what I mean? The
foster parents?
Yeah, they're always the most boring people
weird,
on the planet.
Because they're not going full on adoption. So what are they doing?
It's even more saintly in a way because they're getting
more
troubled
suspicious.
Kids.
It's weird. Like, it's that kind of thing where you go, man, these people are saints. And then you go, they're so much better than me. And then you go, what's up?
Right. How much are they getting? There's 56 kids.
Yeah, what's
the
rub?
They do get a monthly stipend.
Listen, Mia, what's going on?
Yeah, what's the rub? Yeah. And then you start looking at the couple, and you're like, hey, you don't seem so great to me.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you go, once you get to like 15, 18, 21 kids, how much help are you doing? And then whenever they do the news special, it's always someone has a brilliant idea. Let's get her shopping. And it's like, oh, my God, she has 25 shopping carts going out to the
That's
van.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many kids.
Right. All right.
Clint would be the worst parent of the week if not for Jessica Christian. Ironically, definitely not a Jew. Who left her 2-year-old son locked in a hot car in Dallas so she could run into a Tejano restaurant and get some takeout. Or at least that's what she told the cops. An actual good Samaritan saw her kid in the car, 83-degree day in Dallas, and called the cops. The cops got her from the Tejano restaurant. She said, "Officers, I was just running in for my takeout. I wasn't going to leave the kid in there very long." But the officer checked with the bartender, and in the 40 minutes that she'd been inside said Tejano restaurant, she had bought and consumed 4 margaritas.
What was a hot day, number one. Number two,
she was thirsty.
I feel like that breaks some sort of...
the food was taking a while.
That's some sort of bartending code that got broken.
You think
there.
He broke it by narcotics?
I think there used to be a code with the bartenders. Like, there'd be that guy who was constantly rubbing the same glass with the same towel.
I've seen him on Law & Order.
Fucking hates the spot maker. You know, he's just going at the same glass all day, just rubbing. What can I do you for, pal? And then you start talking to him about your old lady, and he goes, "Shh, think you got problems. You know, I got my old lady." You know, and they start, and he's divorced, but you're having problems. The next thing you know, you're talking. And, you know, that was the dude's. What you know, you guys have hairdressers.
Right.
You know, you have your chicks or your hairdresser. We've both gotten screwed because what happened is the bartenders have gotten replaced by the "what can I do you for a Mac" guy. You know, that sort of Irishy guy with the gin blossom who's owned the joint for 20 years and all that kind of stuff. Like, and he's never read a book, but he's sagely in his advice.
Yeah,
you know, that guy.
All.
He'd never drop a dime on you. He knows you. He'll take care of you. That guy's the guy we used to talk to when we're putting back a few, when we're having trouble with the old lady.
"One from a Baby," the Frank Sinatra song.
You guys, that's right. You guys had your hairdresser, either gay guy or chick, a couple years older than you, like smoking while cutting the hair, doing the beehive, knows what you're talking about. Now, our guy has been replaced with the gay guy and the one stud earring and the sort of metrosexual kind of thing from the airport bar. And I don't know who you are anymore. Right. And you're perpetually like 29 and you're 10 years younger than me, but you need to see my ID and you're being douchey about it.
And you have headshots.
You have headshots. And you guys got some kind of weird Asian thing going on where the chick doesn't understand a fucking lick of English and doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about. She's 80 pounds soaking wet. We don't have anyone to talk to anymore. You used to go to the hair salon and spill your guts. We'd go to the bar and spill our guts. Now we got nothing.
We just have podcasts and Twitter.
That's
right. That's why we have
social media.
You're staring at your phone, and I'm staring up at the screen watching a little ESPN and the crawl over there, and that's about it.
Now the only people who want to talk to you are the dentist and dental hygienist, and you can't.
That's true.
Yeah, they do.
That's true.
They want to chat you, and and the one is just sucking the saliva
out
of your mouth. With the
This is my impression of that.
By the way, the dental hygienist... no excuses in the bedroom, right? Like when the guy's going,
she's not sucking it with her mouth.
It's a machine.
When she's like, "I'm just weirded out by it," doesn't the guy have to go, "Come on, baby.
You're in people's
all fucking day with a spit vacuum. You can take a little love from your mouth."
You're right. You touch all sorts of disgusting things. And you're really close to yuckiness.
I was saying that they bleeped it out, but I don't know why. Fuck, it's so horrible. The early years when I did Kimmel, Hugh Hefner was sitting next to me, and I said, like, I saw Hugh Hefner beating the bejesus out of some guy in the alley, and they bleeped out bejesus at midnight, by the way, beating the bejesus out of someone at midnight. I think they just freaked out and hit the thing. Bear Grylls was on there, and they're, like, showing footage of him, like, doing that survival thing. I don't know when it became so goddamn compelling, but what we do is we just drop a guy off in nothing but his underpants,
right?
And he's got to fucking survive for 4 days out in the Alaskan
Outward
wilderness
bound.
You know, and he's talking, he's squeezing peat moss into his mouth, going, I can stay hydrated for another couple hours, it'll give me enough strength to start a fire and all that kind of stuff, and we're just sitting there just glued to the TV set. Well, at some point he pulled, like, you know, some crustacean or something off the bottom of a rock or something in a stream and just busted it open, just starts sucking the weird gelatinous protein out of it. And I said, well, Bear, you know, when the wife wants a little... wants a little oral in the bedroom, you got no excuses now, buddy. You can't do the, "Hey, man.
It's not my thing.
I ain't going there." No, because there's 200 hours of footage of you sucking on.
Yeah, you got a mouthful of abalone and lichen.
I've seen you eat a beehive. It was stuffed with raccoon shit. So don't tell me you wouldn't give your woman a little love. And they bleeped that shit right out. Oh. It was like they bleeped the idea out. Like, see, I was real careful not to say pussy or you know, going. You know, I said it a lie. I worked around it, but it's like they didn't like the idea of it. And I'm like, hey, fuck you if you don't like the idea. You bleep out the words I can't say, not the ideas you can't tolerate.
Censoring you.
Thank you.
That's good stuff.
Thank
Jessica Christian.
Speaking of Jessica Christian, Jessica Simpson, somebody tweeted me today. Oh, how, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
Line of maternity wear.
Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
What to expect when you're expecting to make a fucking fortune?
I know. Oh, God. With the whole thing where...
Exploiting her baby.
You can get, she's really doing it. I was just being ironic.
You can get fat. You can make a life out of getting fat. You can make a life out of getting
$3 million, Adam, to lose that weight for Weight Watchers, I think. $3 million deal. I had to lose upwards of 60 pounds.
How much?
Nobody paid me.
That's what I'm saying.
I got nothing.
Mm. Ray Romano. Tom Coltabiano. Did I say that right?
Perfect. Perfect.
Well,
hello.
That's right. Good to see you guys. Great documentary. I just watched it this afternoon. 95 miles. Oh, is that someone's phone?
It's not my
phone.
There
you go. 95 miles to go. Directed by Tom. I especially enjoyed it because I've been out on the road doing some comedy. And I said to my wife at a certain point, you want to know what we do? Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Get in the rental car, sit in the hotel, complain about shit that has to do with specifically with the hotel, and then argue about where the theater is. And a lot of time stuff, like how far is the theater from? Can we walk to the theater? Do we have to drive?
Yeah.
When's the car going to come around?
Sounds like a boring movie.
It does, but it's funny. And Tom, you did this, and I'm guessing you're glad now, Ray, that he decided to chronicle this.
Well, I mean, at the time, it's a pain in the ass, but it's nice to have it now. It's a recorded moment in my life, you
yeah.
know, in my career.
Right.
So looking back, yes, now I'm happy that it was done.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, maybe we should have those baby booties bronzed. Oh, it's a fucking hassle, and the bronze is so hot.
Yeah.
It's just a pain, the drying time. Like, I just say everything to me sounds like a hassle. So if somebody wanted to film me do anything, it'd be like, no. So thank Christ, Tom.
Well,
I fought it.
That's the first time he's said that he's glad he did it. First time I've ever heard that. He's complained ever since the first.
Well,
okay.
But it's because it's for years now. Look, it's years later, and I'm still trying to promote this thing.
What year what year were you out doing it?
That was what year of Raymond was that?
Season five of
season
Raymond.
Season five. So.
So just about the height. Ray was still poor comedian guy in his head.
Right.
And
but
so,
he had money.
But
right.
he had money. But
right.
the show was just about to become this really giant hit.
And speaking of his head, I was making a note, but he had the mind bat, or he had something like the mind bat, which was an interesting. What was it actually called? What did you call it?
The mind bats. No, you're right. The mind bats. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And it was interesting because it's very very it sounds sort of neurotic and idiosyncratic, but it's also I think something that successful people do, and. You went out at a certain point, and you went out and golfed.
Yeah.
And you gave yourself a score to get to.
I had to beat,
what was
like
the score?
90. It might have been 90.
90.
Yeah.
You had to break 90, and
right.
you did not break 90.
No, I didn't break 90.
And so the mind bet was no more golfing for the next few weeks
trip.
On the tour,
yeah.
And you could not watch the TV in your room.
In my hotel room, I was
right.
not allowed to watch TV.
But you did.
I found a loophole.
You did what Jews do who want to use a toaster oven on a Saturday. You found a loophole.
I did.
You were able to go to Tom's room and watch his TV.
Well, yes, and
I love these first.
Then,
this is the whitest of the first world problems you could have. When I did not break 90 out on the links, I could not watch the television
right.
back in my
but,
right.
just
hotel.
So you know, just so you know, to give you a little backstory, gambling and myself don't mix well.
Right.
And I have a slight history of trouble with gambling, but it all happened before I had money.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost everything at one point, but everything was not much.
Right.
So I discovered this system of
mm-hmm.
where I could kind of get the same thrill, the
right.
same rush.
Right.
And not risk anything monetary, you know.
Sure.
Just TV privileges. But I was still – it was just as much as if I had $100,000 on it.
But what's on the line? Because – you gave away – you sent your golf clubs back to L.A.
Yes.
And you could not watch your TV in your hotel room
for
anymore.
Another 5 days on the road.
That's all you have Other than masturbation. But that's all you have on the road is your TV set.
By the way, okay, yeah. But, there's a loophole. There's a masturbation loophole, but we won't get into that.
Show them.
Yeah. I think I've been on the losing end of that masturbation loophole a time or two. But what happens if you turned on SportsCenter that night in your own room? What would happen?
Excellent question.
I just don't do it because I kind of make a – it's karma.
Where are the stakes? Are your kids involved? Is there a plane crashing? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's just knowing that it's like I made a promise to God. I can't go back on it. And if I do, I will punish myself. I'll say, okay. In other words, if I put the TV on that night by accident, I forgot that I had a mind bed. Then I'll have to add two more days to the penalty at the end.
Sure.
Of it. And by the way, and I'm not making this up. I'm in the middle of a lost mind bet right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can't be funny on a podcast.
To actually do this. No. No, I lost two days ago. I golfed and I didn't. And by the way, since then, that was like 8 years ago.
Right.
I've limited because my life was actually – I was actually screwing myself bad because I would sometimes say golf for the – I mean TV for the whole summer.
Right.
And I was
– Oh, really?
Right.
Oh.
And then it was also like I was playing Pac-Man. If I don't get over this – So I've limited it. It's only golf, and I can only punish myself for 48 hours. So I'm in the middle of a 48-hour loss now, and I can't watch TV tonight in bed, and I can't golf, and I can't bet the playoffs. So I like the
right.
Yeah.
Do you have one of these going at all times?
No, it's just only golf. Now. It's only golf. It used to be anything and anything I wanted to do to get
now.
Some
do you find like I'll tell you what I do every time I skip rope. That's my only exercise. Right. And at the end of my skipping rope session, I do the sort of crossover move you see boxers do.
Yes.
And it's sort of there and back is one. You know, right, left, right. That's one. And I have to do 10. And if I fuck up on the ninth, I have to start over again.
Yeah.
And if something happens where I fuck up on the eighth or ninth one five times around, I go, fuck it. Something's going to happen to one of my kids. So I just put it in my brain that I'm not walking away. Doesn't matter. I'm walking away. I'm going to have the nanny flip a coin. I mean, what's that exact science? But I'm going to get these 10 peeled off. And I realize it's sort of a way to trick myself into getting more exercise.
Yeah.
Is this a way to trick yourself into golfing better or feeling something?
This is, by the way, this is like an exploration of crazy right
no,
now.
No, I know what you're saying because when you have money, in order to – the thing about gambling is there's a catch 22, and it should be 21 in the course of gambling. But there's a catch, which is you can go out and I can go out and lose $500 playing 21. It's no big deal. Back in the day, you were devastated. Now you have to lose a shitload of money or you have to win a shitload of money. So thus, it's real high stakes and it could get really ugly really fast.
Adam, do you have a gambling – like what Ray said is key because being his friend, he comes alive at the – I'll bet anything. I'll bet you her pen runs out before the end of the, like that. Now he's awake and alive. So it triggers whatever that is.
Because doesn't it have to do with punishment and reward and exerting some kind of control over the universe?
I don't want to go down that hole.
But we have. So that she's right.
Is this a masturbation hole or is this a different one?
It can go there at any point.
I've screwed over my friends because we've been going on. If we're going on a trip, I've had to tell them, listen, don't bring your clubs because I've lost a mind bet. I'm not going to be playing. Yeah. And my friend Manfro has a great quote. A guy, John Manfrotti, another comedian.
Very funny
Manfrotti?
Comedian, yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't
actor,
think I know.
Actor on Ray's, oh, on Raymond
sure.
and Ray's.
But sure he always blames him. Me being screwed up in my childhood for doing these mind bets. And one, I had to tell him, listen, on this, we were doing a road gig, and I go, Dallas, I go, don't bring your clubs. I can't go. I go, and he was like so pissed at me because, you know, because your father stuck his thumb in your ass when you were 13, I can't play golf on this freaking trip.
So is that the gay hole we're talking about?
Yeah.
Or the masturbation?
By the way, Ray almost didn't go to the Emmys one year.
Yeah, because of the mind bet.
He almost lost a mind bet of making 10 free throws in a row. And he's like, I almost didn't make
nine. I had to make 9 out of 10.
This feels like you could be an alcoholic if you tried just a little bit.
Yeah, if I liked alcohol, that would be trouble.
But you've channeled it a little different direction.
Yeah. I haven't had a drink since I was 25, but
not because of alcoholism.
No.
Mind bet.
Control issues.
Yeah.
Is there? Now it's weird because you're neurotic, but you're normal also at the same time. Like it's a balance. It's a very interesting balance.
Well, that's what I like. I like the way I explain it is, before any of this fame, I thought my cab driver hated me, mm-hmm. and now I think my limo driver hates me. It's all relative.
Just keep going.
It's all the same. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. If you can be normal and neurotic at the same time, I guess.
Well, it's like you're neurotic without the Judaism part. I think the Italian
you're high
part.
Functioning.
The Italian part sort of.
It's almost the same, isn't it?
It evens you out just a little bit. Because are you a hypochondriac?
Yeah.
Yes, Tom says yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
He Pirelled or whatever it is the moment before the show started.
But there was something, because it fell on your counter, like a chunk of stickiness
on his wallet. I saw his finger sticking to his wallet.
There's something sticking in the wallet. Yeah, but I'm not like Howie Mandel's a bit overly. I'm not like that. And if I was out there, like I am kind of, something falls on the floor, I touch it, boom, Pirelled. But then, if I go camping with my kids, which I've done once in the past 10 years, when you're out with the elements, I let that all go, and then I'm okay. So mm-hmm. so it's weird. I don't know if crazy comes to the forefront, then you're in trouble.
Where, as far as your family and growing up, is there any besides the dad dropping a digit on you on your 13th birthday? What else could we attribute this to? Was your mom freaked out, superstitious?
No.
Was she warning you about things that could happen?
I think it's from his, you know, you've seen Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So his father is very close to the Peter Boyle mm-hmm. character. So mm-hmm. I really think it's an exercise in controlling something you can't control, which was his environment with his father.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought this would go this way.
Adam, what else did you think of the movie? What else?
I mean, I really enjoyed just the fly on the wall look of what it is to go out on the road and do this craft.
Are you doing corporate gigs? Like, did you see that corporate gig
The Miami corporate gig was the first or second one, I can't remember. And then there were stand-up gigs in there. Right. And yeah, the corporate, I'm just going out and doing theater, thankfully. And the corporate gigs are great because they pay a lot, but they come with some rules and some regulations. Right. And yeah. Ray is a clean comedian, but even just saying oral sex and alluding to certain things that you really could have spoke of on the Tonight Show, to be honest, does that thing. And people like to do that thing, and you probably fall prey to it. We all do. Somebody will come up to you and go, I thought it was funny. I'm a little worried about Herb. And you're like, Herb? Why? What'd you hear from Herb? Nothing yet, but that's why I'm worried. He usually, and next thing you know, you're like up in your head,
but
and then you find yourself asking how Herb's feeling about you. And you're like, fuck, if Herb makes $65,000 a year, who the fuck cares about Herb?
And it's also the biggest laugh of the night.
Sure.
Is the oral one they tell you one. Not to do.
By the way, Adam, the biggest example of that, which I saw, was Ray was doing the Tonight Show, and mm-hmm. the guy, McCauley, who had to see Ray's act, was Jim late McCauley. To the improv.
To and go so, see you perform
so sees
at the
Ray
improv. Act.
So Ray does his set, kills. Now sure. McCauley shows up and says, oh, do your act for me in the dining room of the improv. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Ray does it, and then he does the last joke of his, okay, which is a very funny joke. You know the joke I'm talking about. It's
Shower?
Yeah. A hysterical joke. And McCauley goes, I don't think my boss is going to like that joke. So mm-hmm. for the next 24 hours, there's calls to David Brenner. Ray's manager steps in and is like, let's save this joke, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And they end up getting, okay, you can do the joke. It's the joke that Johnny laughs at the hardest
right.
when he does it. And it's that third party, like, yeah, they're not going to really like that. And
I know.
It's like they're endowing these other people with their own conscience. And
it's always my favorite part of doing those shows when the segment producer calls, because you're doing the show Thursday. And the segment producer calls Tuesday, maybe Wednesday afternoon. wants to talk about what you're going to talk about. This is now that you've graduated from doing stand-up to sitting on the sofa there next to Jay or Johnny. And they love – I don't know why. We always do a little role-playing with this. You don't have to have much imagination. You just go through the motions, because this is the part that fucking drives me nuts. They call you and they go like, so, Ray, what's been going on? You've been traveling? How the kids doing? Anything going on with the kids?
Yeah.
And then at some point you go – well, it's kind of a funny story with my kid's baseball game. And then you tell the story. Tell me a story, whatever you got. Like, I'll play the part of that guy, right? You just got to play yourself.
Ray usually goes in with bits. I will say that. Like on Letterman or something.
Well, but you're then saying, but when you're doing, right, well,
you're
talking
Ellen. Yeah, what do you got? What do you got?
When you're doing a press, like when you do Letterman, I'm working on it for weeks before that little couch.
All right, well, I'll tell you.
But then when you're doing The View and Regis and this,
even if it's Letterman. Yeah. Well, what do you got? What do you? What bit do you want to do?
On Letterman?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I got a Letterman coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have I know a bit I want to try, but right. I don't.
I'll be the segment producer.
It's not polished.
Well, let's just talk it out. Let's beat it out.
This is interesting.
All right, it's a true story. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about how I'm married for 24 years now.
That's good. Yeah, it's funny. No, it's good. No, get the husband. Get that family in. That's good.
I'm married 24 years, but I think, according to my calculations, I think we're going to be divorced in like 2 years.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. It's good because David likes family talk. Yeah.
Yes. Because of the reason I came to that conclusion was that we were sitting at the kitchen table, and I was on my laptop. She was on hers. I was emailing somebody, and she looked up and said to me, "I can't stand the way you type." Yes, that's a true story.
It's good. What else you got? any vacations coming up? Anything
well,
like
why,
that?
That's
what I love.
You're right.
Wow.
I hate the pre-interview is the worst thing.
It's the worst.
If what you else? Get a guy like that.
Yeah, what else? No, that's good. That's good. But what else? You're going out of town? Anything coming up? Holidays?
These
Mother's
are terrible.
Day? What do you got? Anything? Anything with Mother's Day?
I don't really. My mother. I have an Italian mother.
No, that's good. It's good. Dave likes it. Dave likes it. Yeah, Italian mom. Overbearing.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna cancel.
What else you got? What else? Yeah. You got something else? You have an Irish mom. What else you got? Your black mom.
We could talk about the show.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah. What else you got?
I just did a podcast.
What else you got? Dave doesn't like podcasts.
Well, that's why I request the same guy, because if you get a guy who's good.
Yeah.
Matt Roberts is the guy in Letterman who's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was
but
Matt Roberts.
That bit is priceless, because it takes the wind out of your sails and they could be less interested and nothing you say is funny.
And it's always
are
funny.
They listening or are they just trying to collect a certain number
of
things?
I always have to say, they are listening.
They're writing while they're...
And I always, after every one, I have to go, it gets laughs. Trust me, it gets laughs.
I know. Because it's this weird, horrible process of you're doing a sit-down comedy routine in front of someone who has a steno pad on their lap.
Yeah.
And they're grunting, and you're trying to figure, and they don't laugh. They'll go, oh, that's funny. That's good. Okay. All right. What else? And also, you'll prepare, like, it'll be like at a certain point you'll go, well, we got 20 minutes of material for a 6.5 minute bit here. Like we're never going to get this deep into this. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, and I'm guessing you've earned this, Ray, that they know who you are and they sort of know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And they trust you a little bit.
Yeah, Letterman lets me do the thing and they kind of trust me. If I tell them, oh, it's going to work, it'll be funny. Yeah. And they let me also... You know, if I want to curse occasionally, they'll let me curse and bleep it out or whatever. But it is scary to do the pre-interview if you get somebody like that, because then you also doubt. You say, "Holy shit, this stuff isn't funny."
Yeah, and by the way, they're going to go convey it to Letterman or Leno, and they're going to fuck it up horribly.
Yeah.
First, blinds galore. Blinds galore. Getting close to blinds galore's Black Friday sale. Everything, blind, shutter, shades, 50% off. Order free samples and be ready when it starts November 26th. I have them at home. I have them in the studio. We have them in the edit bays. We have them in my bedroom. We have the electronic ones. It's great, man. Everything they make is fan-damn-tastic. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to an eighth of an inch. Nothing gets made until you order it. Designer quality products without the designer price. And they have a new Build a Blind tool that lets you create and customize your window treatments online. See exactly how your blinds and shades will look before you buy. You can get your free samples and get started today. I think get up to 12 and all the different colors, and you can look at the texture and everything else. It's the best. It's Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know that Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right, that was Ray Romano in studio with Tom Caltabiano.
Mind bets.
And Teresa Strasser, some weird news joining the rest of the game.
Yeah. It's always great to hear her with the better mic setup.
That's true, because whenever she was actually the news girl, we only had the lavalier mics.
Mm-hmm. So it's always nice to hear her back in studio.
That's what her voice sounds like.
Two news girls, one episode.
Nice and beefy voice. The lavalier mics, for those who are wondering, are the ones you put on your shirt, and they don't sound as good.
Yeah, the talk show mics. Yeah. I'm going to tell Teresa you said she had a beefy voice.
I know. I said beefy, and I thought, that's not the word to use. So we're just going to move on. All right, this next clip. Oh, man. One of my favorite drops of all time comes from this clip, and it's with Andy Dick. Marshall Cook's in the studio as well, Allison and Brian. It's from 2011, and this request comes from Kevin. He writes, last week Brian played a little ditty that I immediately recognized as the same tune that they used for Andy Dick to lay down a new jingle for the Southern California Jewish Center. Your gift of hope is a great deduction. Now, I've got to hear that one, because I remember that was such a fun bit to hear at the time. Thanks, guys. Love having some ACS for the weekend and rehearing some old memories. Get it on, Kevin.
Yeah, and if you want to submit a listen request,
just email us like Kevin did, classicsadamcarolla.com, or tweet us, hit us up on the IG, whatever.
And about this request, when he says last week, he sent this a while ago, so we have some requests that are on deck that I'm still trying to fulfill. So if you sent one, much like this guy, I am actually working on it. But if you're going back to last week to find the ditty, you're not going to find it last week. It was several weeks ago. This one is from Adam Carolla Show 722. Andy Dick, Marshall Cook, as Chris mentioned, Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop. At the time, they're promoting Division III, football's finest, starring Adam Carolla and Andy Dick. Marshall Cook, the director. It's from December 2011. It's basically what Kevin described.
Nick Kroll yes. Played me on American Dad. Everybody thinks it's me. I'm like, it's not fucking me. Which I don't understand, because Seth MacFarlane and I are friends, and I've been on Family Guy a number of times as me.
Sure.
So if you want me, I'm right fucking here.
So you dropped
God
off.
Damn it. I'm a little bit.
You dropped a package off at Ben's place.
At his office, and it basically had an old. It was they were props, some extra things I had from the Ben Stiller show. There was a cast picture, and I wrote a letter that in ink that I was able to pretend that there were tears on that I smeared, and a script, and little props from the Ben Stiller show, and basically was saying, I guess you can have these back. I have no need for them anymore. It was kind of like saying, I guess our relationship is over. Sorry. And, and I think he took it. It was just a joke. And I really never told anybody that. And I found out through Jack Black that he took that personally. And I literally have never talked to him since. Not because of – I've tried to. I've tried to reach out. You know, I have this problem. You know, I've tried to
– What's the problem?
The problem of, you know, making a joke – people taking it seriously and not being able to mend the friendship. I'm having the same thing with Howard Stern right now.
What's going on?
Well, you know, I jokingly called him a...
Did you get Best Cat Calendar?
What is that?
I got it in the next room.
He gave you a cat calendar?
There's dogs in it, too.
I think there are dogs in there, too. They rescue dogs. They take pictures. Yeah.
Well, I'm not, months I think that's great.
What'd
I rescue dogs too.
So, what'd you do with Stern?
Well, you know, I've written him an apology letter, and
with tears on there.
No, this one's.
What'd you say?
It's sincere, because I didn't know that he had the ability to get his feelings hurt. Would you think that he would be a man that would be so sensitive?
Stern is. My interpretation of Howard is he's a passionate guy. He's
Well, I love him, and
he's a much more sensitive guy.
Than you would know. That's what I have come to realize, because I was on Fitzsimmons' podcast, and
right.
Fitzsimmons brought up that my manager had asked Fitzsimmons to ask Howard to help put me through. I think it was to put me in a rehab or whatever it was, mm-hmm. No, I didn't need rehab at the time. It was a legal issue.
Really?
It was no, I didn't. I was completely sober.
Oh, okay.
By the way. No, that's not what it is. But my life is so mm-hmm. you know crazy. But I remember now. It was for money, which I didn't ask him to do this.
Right.
But I needed some legal. I hired a lawyer that was way out of my price range. I'm talking mm-hmm. about hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
For something that I did get in trouble with when I was drinking back in the day.
Sure.
I couldn't afford it. My manager asked Greg to ask Howard, and I didn't really even know. And then he brought this up on the air. I was completely humiliated and embarrassed. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, I just kind of was backed into a corner, and mm-hmm. I lashed out because I was hurt. And I said, well, fuck you. I don't need money, you know, and he wouldn't give me, because I think Greg said, oh, he wouldn't give you money. You know, he's not going to give you money or something. Something,
right. You lashed
something
out.
Plugged me in. Something like pushed my buttons, like mm-hmm. like poking a mangy dog mm-hmm. or a feral, you know, raccoon in a cage. I was just like, I was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I in that, because Howard has thrown every negative, you know, like every he's called me, you know, he's called me a dick smoking faggot or a, you know, mm-hmm. a cock twiddling homo, or get mm-hmm. put another dick in your butt, or take that dildo out of your butt, or do
right.
something with your butt, or your butt, your faggot butt.
Sure.
I mean, just like the list goes on and on. Not anymore, because you're not allowed to,
right?
You know,
right.
in this day and age,
yeah, it's so sad.
PC. You can't say anything. Mm. I can say it when I'm talking about somebody else calling me that. See, I can get away with it right now.
Sure,
but I've been called every, you know, like a cum guzzling faggot.
Well, to be fair, there was a context to that. I was saying to Brian, first off, I had no idea you were in the room.
The mics were hot?
Number
no,
one.
Okay.
Number two, there's a context. You just sort of walked into the middle of my...
But listen,
yeah.
listen. So he...
said chugging, but
so
okay,
anyhow,
go ahead.
Anyhow,
let's not do
so
it.
I...
and he said, God, I love me that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's celebrating.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You were being nice.
So you said...
Well, so anyhow, I used a term that I had not heard before. The only time I've ever heard it before or since is out of his mouth.
Uh-huh.
And he has called himself, you know, and this, I feel weird saying it now.
But you have to, since we're this far into it.
But I used the term hooked nose Jew.
Uh-huh.
And that,
I'm out of here.
It was a shitstorm of hate coming at me.
Sure.
I am not anti-Semitic. Never have. But my dad is Jewish.
Sure.
I married Lena. I didn't marry her, but we have two kids together. She's Jewish. So my kids are basically Jewish. She has two other kids that she had with a Jewish man that I, for all intents and purposes, I adopted them. They're 100% Jewish.
I
live with three Jews.
I don't think
my whole team is Jewish. My manager, my agent, my lawyer.
What?
Everyone's Jewish.
In Hollywood?
Yeah, I know.
Manager,
go
lawyer,
figure, go figure.
Agent?
But do you understand?
Mostly
this whole,
it's Asian. Go
this
ahead. No.
Because I used the term because I heard him call himself that. So I thought, oh, I'll just use a term that he's mm-hmm. okay with. And I did, and he was so upset. And I really feel horribly that I hurt his feelings.
Do you think you really hurt his feelings?
Yes, because he won't talk to me. He got very upset, went on a fucking, he rained shit on me for it. It hurt. I had to go on a blocking spree on Twitter. I had all these people wanting to kill me.
He did this right before, right when I was booking the college tour, by the way, too, which was great.
Yeah. He soiled the good name of Andy Dick. Is that what you're saying? Wow.
We had a little bit of...
Well, look, first off...
Come on, I try really hard.
I love you. I try hard.
What else do you
think
want
anybody,
me to do?
I don't think anyone thinks you're anti-Semitic.
I'm not. No, people do think that, and I'm not. You get it. I'm not.
I don't know that anybody thinks you're... You know, look, I've been accused of being, you know, misogynistic
I know.
Homophobic, yeah. and you know.
Well, you might be a little
bit
of a racist.
I don't like those people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're talking about a guy, you know, I've had groups that represent the Asian community, yeah, like coming after me, yeah, and all that kind of shit. Yeah. Like, I don't, first off, us coming after whoever does not mean whoever has it in for whatever group. Yeah. We're living in a new, yeah, reality,
yeah, yeah,
where you're allowed to work with fill in the blank, Asians, Jews, yeah, blacks, whatever. You're allowed to have friends. You're allowed to have gay friends. You're allowed to be gay yourself. Yeah. You're allowed to be whatever. Yeah. And then you make a joke or you say, yeah, yeah, something, and everyone points a finger at you and says, yeah, you're xenophobic. Here's, or, yeah, you're, exactly, whatever.
If you're saying something negative about someone and you use that term,
hooked nose,
yeah,
Jew.
If you're saying something, if you're just, please, saying it in a funny way, it's one, mm-hmm, thing, and I think you'd still catch flack. Oh, yeah. But if you're saying something negative, especially if you're saying that person is potentially cheap, and then you use that term, you're going to be in a
hooked nose. Would you stop saying, stop, yes, that?
just the same as if someone is saying something negative about gay people and uses the terms, Andy, that you were saying you've been called before, it's going to sound much worse than if they just sort of say them in a lighthearted,
right, well,
manner.
Well, I was mad at Howard, and I was at that time, mm-hmm, in that moment, I shouldn't have even been on a podcast. I was very, I was manic. Only like 2-3 months into sobriety. I was, mm-hmm, manic. I was, you know, mm-hmm, I probably needed a fucking drink.
No relationships and no podcasts for the first year. That's what Dr. Drew always told me.
Seriously, I shouldn't have, right, been on.
But
and
Andy,
he pushed my buttons. And here's the thing: I shouldn't have been on. And I wasn't, and never have been anti-Semitic. But I was in that moment. Anti-Howard.
That's where I think people get offended. I don't, yeah, think Howard thinks you're anti-Semitic.
No,
I
he
think
does. He Look, no, he knows. No, Jew. Stop doing that, Brian.
I don't think he does. I think he just thinks you're anti-Howard. I don't think he thinks you're anti-Semitic.
Well, no, I know exactly. Deep down, he knows I'm not anti-Semitic, but he's using that to really fuck with my career because it fucked me over.
It really
hurt me. Yes,
hold on.
He's doing it because he was hurt,
Andy,
personally.
To be fair to you, to be fair, I'd see a lot of the arrests, a lot of the drinking, a lot of the drugs, a lot of the headlines, negative headlines. They were swirling around before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, those will hurt a career as well.
Well, I know. No, I know. I don't need any more help in the hurting of the career. That's my point. I know. But by the way, my career's fine.
Listen, what is going on? I have something coming up that I can't talk about.
I'm signing. We already signed the deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about
it. It's got the Shabbat telethon coming up in February. We'll be hosting that. And then other than that, what else is on the docket?
No, I can't talk about it. But beyond this thing I can't talk about, there are two things I can talk about. I'm shooting two pilots through my company, Polywog.
Oh, really?
I've given up, like you said, pushing that big boulder, mm-hmm, up the hill. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to push the fucking boulder of Daphne Aguilera as a feature film for about 7 years. I gave up in the boulder, mm-hmm, ran,
sure,
me over. I'm going to do it,
sure,
as a TV show. So I'm shooting that pilot, Daphne Aguilera, the TV show, and I'm shooting a pilot called Dickinson.
Hooked nose.
No, Jew, I swear.
Can we
to
have?
Christ,
can you guys look up the Southern California Jewish Center, by the way? Because I don't think these people are doing themselves any favors. I'm sorry.
And I'm doing another pilot.
A lot of irons in the fire.
Two people.
A lot of dicks in the fire.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I have something to tell you. One guy is putting up some money for Daphne, and then another guy is putting up some money for a sitcom about my son and I. Because it's great. Because he's rising up just as my thing is like flailing right now.
What's he doing?
He's a stand-up. Lucas Dick. You know,
mm-hmm,
you didn't know that?
I remember we were talking about that.
He's like 23 or 24. I don't even know how old my son is. But listen, by the way, the guy that put up the money for our movie, Division 3.
How much did that cost, by the way?
Way under $1 million. Can you believe it? It looks like a $10 million movie.
We're not supposed to say the like actual, you know, I was going to advise, but
who advises that?
Illegal people.
But here's my point.
I'll tell you why they advise
that. That's Lucas right there.
They advise you not to say, because if you're trying to sell it to somebody, it's just like a car. If you bought a car for $5,000 and you're trying to sell it for $25,000, you don't tell them you bought it for $5,000, right, because it'll make them go, I'll give you $7,000 for it.
We already sold it, but basically Friday Night Lights cost the $20 million range, and divide that by 100, and that's us. So we're in like the low 100,000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah.
Do you have the Southern California Jewish Center, Bobby? Well, they have a jingle that doesn't involve Andy Dick, but there is... They do have a jingle I do think sets the movement back just a little bit.
Right. The lyrics, I
believe. But let me tell you, this is an interesting little side note, Adam. Mm. The guy that put the money up, single-handedly put the money up for Division III, he was the guy that was hanging out the window talking to the Sunset and Vine shooter.
Really?
Oh, he was the guy.
Christopher Johns?
Yes, Christopher Johns is our producer.
I was talking about him. He's the one who was saying, hey, come up here.
He's the producer. He's also the guy producing Daphne.
Jesus Christ.
He's like kind of a madman.
No shit. He should have yelled Division 3 and would have caught it on film and then they would have shown
him. He's on CNN.
Why is he not promoting Division 3?
Every time you're on TV, talk about the fucking movie, idiot.
Wow.
I know.
What is he yelled at the shooter? Division 3.
He's a self-made millionaire. He's a self-made millionaire. He has this company called Support Save, which does outsourcing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's either going public or it has gone public. But, like, you can get stocks for pennies right now, but it's about to blow up because they got a really big account.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to tell you that. But he's not talking about Division 3, so why would I... Right. Why would I fucking do
that? Well, I'll talk about it. It is out as we speak through video on demand, and you can get it on Blu-ray and DVD. Very funny.
In January. Blu-ray and DVD in January.
In January 17th, and you can pre-order at Amazon. And Andy Dick is out of fucking control in this movie. And it really... But you really realize that you are a major talent when you see this. You do go, wow, he's fucking huge. Sorry. And I should say Marshall does a great job in it as well. And you can see from the very first pass, he can throw the football. Yeah. You can just tell, oh, this kid's got an arm. Just threw a beautiful pass, rolled out to his left, I believe, hit the guy in the corner of the end zone, and you can tell it wasn't cut up. Does anyone have the Southern California Jewish Center, by the way?
And while you're getting
for the jingle?
Don't forget about the premiere. It's a small premiere. It's a 500-seat theater at the ArcLight in Hollywood, January 12th. I want to pack the place. So.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's great with an audience.
Everyone can come.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Here's my question for Marshall. So you are obviously a go-getter and and don't take this the wrong way, but how do you deal with feeling like you're irritating people? Which I'm not saying you are. I just assume you must feel sometimes.
Is.
Yeah.
I do it.
You give off that vibe.
I do it super politely and it's all complimentary. I mean, I'm sure if I'm just bugging you to like have you buy something or whatever, that's one thing. But if I'm like, hey, I wrote something for you and I think you're, you know, I look up to you, I listen to your podcast, I think you're a great talent and I want you to be in something that, you know, I wrote for you, that's a little less irritating.
Do you have to screw up your courage deal with all the people saying no?
No, it's beyond that. He is in love with Adam. He told me he has a man crush on you. He's your number one fucking fan.
I love that.
He would have done anything to have you be in the movie.
Listen, I was happy. I went out. I shot for an afternoon at a nice house off of Laurel Canyon, and I ran into Brian Callum, who's there filming as well. And that's when Brian paid me the greatest compliment I've ever been paid in my life. He said, we were talking about you or something. And I said, yeah. And he said, you may be the best improver in the world. Wow. And I said, nice. Really? I don't think so. And he said, well, who's better? And I said, I don't know. And then he said, well, then why can't it be you? And I said, I guess it can be. And he said, good. And we walked away. And I said, well, that's it.
That's that.
On a daily basis, you improvised for hours.
Yeah.
That's what I loved. That's why I said, wow, I love that Brian Callum. He forced it on me, but I took it.
Yeah. And in the movie, I would say you probably do the most improvising per, you know, what's scripted because you didn't read the script, obviously. But we put, references. We had to write references and put them around the camera just so you knew names and, you know, different facts to say. But besides that, I mean, all the commentary is pretty much live. I cut it together, and then you were just kind of commentating.
A wonderful job. Where the hell did the time go? We got to find the Southern California Jewish Center.
Why? I'd rather not.
It has nothing to do with Andy Dick, but it's their jingle. It should be on their fucking website.
Does it sound like something from Fiddler on the Roof?
No, it should. It should, but it's even better in its own way. I want to, first off, the Southern California, like most the places that ask you for money, they're like, could you just give a nickel or a can of dented garbanzo beans or anything? The Jews are like, hey, if you got an RV or a boat you're not using, it's like, what RV? Jesus Christ.
The target.
What? What is going on here? RV Jewish. Or boat? You want us to deliver? That's,
is this it?
Let's see if we can hear. Let's see if we can hear the...
Hook oh. Nose.
No. Would you? Hook nose. Swear to God, buddy.
Hook that
nose.
No, Jew. Buddy.
That's the old one.
That's...
That? Yeah, that isn't helping their movement. I see what you're talking about, Adam.
I will give a little
so
love
trouble.
To...
You're supposed to help me heal this relationship,
man,
Allison.
Great. I'll blow
sorry,
a call
Andy.
Into Howie.
Heal. I need to heal both of my Jewish friends. I need to heal
man,
the relationship.
Great. 100% made in America. 100% cast iron. And I got a holiday special. This
we
thing
serve
is,
no pork.
100% it, satisfaction on this bad boy.
I thought this was a restaurant.
Boy.
What is it?
And the grill
it's
brush.
It's a grill.
Oh, can I get one of those?
Yeah, do you want one of
yeah,
those?
I want
they
one.
Gave us a case of those
oh,
things.
Oh, I want one. I want one. I
can't
saw
find
that.
The audio, but we do have the text copy of the part you're referring to. All right, we'll go. Hold on 1 second. Unbelievable. All right, do we have the... We don't have the song. I don't know why we don't have the song. I hear it on the radio all the time.
It's right, not you? Posted right, anywhere you have we
the,
can find.
Do you have the lyrics to the jingle? It's a jingle.
A jugle?
Your gift of hope is a great deduction.
Are you serious?
Southern California. All nobody else says deduction in there. It's give to right. The needy because you care, because they're people who are hungry. These are the only folks that work deduction.
This is in the jingle.
I swear Jewish. To God, the jingle is your gift of hope. Is a great deduction. It should have a cash register sound after
yeah.
No, Southern no. California Jewish. They know they're fucking tired. All right, you want to try?
Yeah.
Can you put a little like pan flute or something under it, or is there anything we can do?
Anything klezmer?
Nah, you know
no,
what?
That's too zen.
No, we need.
I don't have much jingle stuff.
We need sorry. We need some light.
No, you
some
need
light
that,
fare,
that
some
fiddle
tinkling of a piano
you need that
or
violin.
Something.
Mm-hmm. You need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That Hanukkah music.
Yeah, something.
That's good.
Your gift of hope is a great deduction.
No, I can sing it. Wait, let me do it.
Okay, go.
Let me do it. Go. Do that song.
This will heal it for you.
This will heal it.
Go. Play that again. Your gift of hope is a great deduction. Southern Jewish, California Jewish.
Oh,
I messed
you
it.
Fell off.
All right.
Off
one more time. I should jump right, in right go. In the beginning. Go.
Right, let's go. Let's go.
Ready, go. Your gift of hope is a great deduction. Southern California Jewish Center. Jewish.
Now, honestly, I'm gonna ask.
I'm looking forward to reading about this all over the internet.
You know what?
I'm gonna ask.
In trouble.
No.
I'm
gonna get myself into trouble. But seriously, Allison Rosen.
Yes, Allison Rosen is okay with it.
California Jewish.
It's shrewd.
It is.
I've seen 10,000 PSAs asking for money and donations and stuff. They do not bring the deduction part up in the jingle.
Right.
Somewhere in the spine print.
And yet
print.
When rich people give money, my cynical assumption is that they're doing it for the deduction purpose.
No, they're not doing it for the deduction. They're doing it because they can get a deduction. Like, it's like, I've been enough of those charity auctions.
I feel like some corporations do it for the deduction.
Oh, no, I don't know. I've never you never make more than you give away.
I don't know how this money works, but I just
well, the way it works. The way it works is this: you go to one of those fucking charity auctions, mm-hmm. and they tell you, you know, look, we'll send you and three other people to Maui for 5 days and you know 4 nights and blah blah blah, and it's valued at you know. $8,000, and you think to yourself, I bet I can get it for $6,500, and then I can write off a certain...
Could redo a living room for that.
Well, I can write off a portion of that, but you don't get to... You ain't Ryan, making Ryan. Money off the deal. Nobody Ryan. Who's holding a paddle in the air is making any money off of that
Your
deal.
Gift of hope is a great deduction. Southern California Jewish Center. Ka-ching!
Nice.
That.
All I'm that saying good. Is...
It's a hit!
It's the only time I've ever heard the word deduction.
Yes, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's a given. It's understood.
They know their target audience.
It's a win-win thing, but I'm saying the idea that it's the it Jewish really center funny. And they work in deduction.
But donate so you, your RVs. Your,
the argument you're making is that they're appealing to Jews, and mm-hmm. I'm saying... Oh.
Allison?
I'm saying they are... taking what was possibly an ugly stereotype and digging it in just a little bit deeper by working the word deduction in to their jingle.
Because what I was going to hope
is great deduction. It's like if sickle cell. It's like if the sickle cell worked in watermelon. Ka-ching. You know what I mean?
Yes, but what I want to say is, what do Jews need RVs for?
I don't know. That's the point. They don't have boats. RVs or boats. Oh, right. They're big. They love deep sea fishing. Every Jew I know.
They buy them. They buy them. They don't use them. They're like, what am I to do with them? Oh, God, no.
Come on, Andy. Come on.
Your gift of hope is a great deduction. All right, we'll get that.
Southern California Jewish Center.
Just laughing. Just laughing. AutoShepherd.com.
Quick question about cars. Mm-hmm. I'm about to get a car, and I want – there's two cars I like, and one of them is just, I think, for my ego. It's the Dodge Challenger. I want to get it. I want it. I want the what is it, SRT8. I want that, the Dodge Challenger. Mm-hmm. But it would just be me tooling around, being a tough guy. Look at me. See, I'm not a bag. Right. The gift of hope is a great deduction. Southern California Jewish Center.
Right.
Ka-ching.
Right.
Or – I could get the I love Dodge. I don't know why. I love these. Mm-hmm. I love how they look. Mm-hmm. They're powerful. I want the Dodge Magnum, also V8, because then if things really do kind of spiral down the drain and, you know, if they go and then it goes down the shitter, I could always drive around the country with my guitar player, one of them, Tim Walsh or Dan Tino or whoever, and just do little fucking shows all around the country in the Dodge Magnum. I'm sorry, not Durango. In the Dodge Magnum.
Well, the Magnums, is that the wagon?
Yeah, the station wagon. And they don't make them
anymore. Make those
anymore. But I get a used one. I saw one on Craigslist today. It's a V8. It's 10 grand. And it only has like 50,000, no, 100,000 miles.
You're black or Mexican if you drive that
I don't
Magnum.
Care.
Well, they're going to be disappointed when they pull up next to you.
Let me tell you something.
This is, please don't do it. Please.
Give them all.
The point is.
Let's talk about anything else.
Let's get the Challenger or the Charger or whatever it is.
He just wants to challenge a V.
Yeah. Division Marshall? 3.
I swear he's going out of his way to not talk about shit that matters.
Division 3. Well, he's Andy Dick. That's what he is.
I'm trying to have fun.
Football's finest. I recommend it highly. A, because I'm in it. B, I mean, Mo Collins, Will Sasso, Greg Fitzsimmons, Brian Callen, Deborah Wilson. That's a good group. As well as a fine, fine performance turned in by our own Marshall Cook. Available now through video on demand. And listen, man, let's help the little guy for a change. Sandler's fine. What about the about the youngsters out there trying to break in?
Yeah.
Out on DVD January 17th and Blu-ray for that. And you can pre-order
take
it on Amazon.
Take a Pasadena on Jack and Jill and go see Division III Football's Finest.
That's right.
I would call it Andy's tour de force. It's just really amazing.
Yes, yes. When they do
and
the...
And you're my little Judd Apatow.
They do the In Memoriam at the Oscars. They will definitely play a clip from this movie.
Your gift of hope.
We got to get that jingle, you guys. It's awesome. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Bald Brian, Andy Dick, Marshall Cook, and Allison Rosen saying... Mahalo.
Now, when you're waving your balls in someone's face, aren't you taking a leap of faith?
LegalZoom, running your own business, not easy. Get help with the day-to-day challenges. Over the past 18 years, LegalZoom's helped more than 2 million business owners get started. Every entrepreneur knows getting started is just the beginning. There's much more to tackle after that, and that's what LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys and tax professionals can help you with. Advice on trademarks, tax law changes, and reviewing contracts, and you'll save money by avoiding the hourly fees. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, don't get distracted by legal hurdles, business questions, and things like that as the year winds down. Use LegalZoom, and our own Mark Garagus will tell you he uses LegalZoom, and he sends people to LegalZoom. Basically, you'll get the billable hour with him, and that is devastating. But if you can get it done, you get it done with LegalZoom.
Go to LegalZoom.com today and find out all the different ways they can help your business. And don't forget to enter the promo code Adam in the box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Adam, LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
And those Andy Dick and Marshall Cook back in 2011. Brian. relentless with the drop.
Yeah, especially at the end, which Andy did not appreciate.
Yeah, but I think we all did.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to the next clip, I want to remind everybody to subscribe to Corolla Classics. We release a new episode every Sunday as well. So we got your whole weekend covered, but you can only get it on the Corolla Classics feed. So
we got Andrew McCarthy. We have a couple other great episodes coming up tomorrow. Andrew McCarthy comes in the studio. It's one of the best interviews he's ever done. We got the debut appearance of Jeff Garland from 10 years ago. We got Patrick Muldoon from Starship Troopers, or Saved by the Bell if you're cool. And Doug Benson in studio back in 2010 with the very first installment of Totally Top of TiVo Trivia Tonight. Also recorded on a Tuesday.
All right. This next clip, everybody wants to
We get
to
a
know.
Lot of requests for Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but this is the debut of the Rotten Tomatoes game. The very first Rotten Tomatoes game ever played in the history of mankind. And it's back in 2013.
Yeah, it's not a podcast or not a radio show bit. This originates with the podcast. Matt actually started coming in back in late 2011. He came in on a one-on-one, then he would come in the studio. They talk about upcoming movies and just kind of discuss movies in general, Oscar preview, that kind of stuff. And then there's a theme song and a game suddenly on his 10th appearance. And Adam declares that even if this game sucks, they're going to have to play at least one more time because all the production work that Rich Banks put into the song. Adam Carolla Show of 1208 featuring Mr. Skin, not in this clip, Matt Atchity, Alison Rose, and Brian Bishop from November 15th, 2013.
All right, so should we play our game? Do we have an opening? What do we got?
Bad.
Rich Burner, everybody. Wait, that was a Rich Burner. Oh, it was. Rich Banks, sorry. Another Rich, sorry. Yeah, Rich Banks.
I always wanted to be in a Bee Gees song.
Well, the good news is no matter how much this sucks, you're guaranteed one more appearance because of the effort that went into that song. that's all I know about life.
Good.
Somebody spent a lot of fucking time on that song.
We're going to
And no matter how much this thing sucks, you're coming back for one more try.
Good, good.
Yes.
The bar is set low.
All right. Let's again, this will be the score
right.
of the average reviewer on Rotten Tomatoes.
The yes.
professional.
All right. So I put together a list of movies in honor of the movie that was number one at the box office last week, Thor, mm-hmm. The Dark World, at 65%. So I put together a list of superhero sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are going to have to try and guess the tomato meter score.
Okay.
And the one who is closest without going over gets the points.
Never get the over part.
I said the same thing.
It's just closest.
Oh, the guy who's 1 point over is somehow worse than the guy who's 20 points below?
And also, this encourages a lot of you go 71 and I go 1.
It or worse, 72.
It encourages that too.
Yeah. What do we do about that?
Forget the going over. Let's right, just go closest.
Right. Okay, closest.
I tried right. to warn you, Matt.
Here we go. Okay, first up.
I really did.
The classic Superman 2.
Wait, I have an idea, though. Should we just write down what we think, even though that's not the best for the listener, though?
No, because we can reveal it verbally.
All okay. Right. Superman 2.
Superman 2. Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder,
right.
Terrence Stamp.
Now, that one did not have Richard Pryor in it. That was
correct.
Number 3.
Correct.
2. I don't remember that much about 2.
That was the one with General Zod
mm-hmm.
and the other two from Krypton, and they fought
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
in
General Zod scared me.
Yeah, that's the one, Neil Before
Terrence
Zod.
Stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was not a good movie. Mm-hmm. This was actually taken over halfway through by Richard Lester, the director of A Hard Day's Night.
Mm.
They, like, fired yes. the director halfway yeah. in.
Original director, Richard Donner, who directed the Lethal Weapon movies. Mm.
Should I suggest this? It's going to be complicated. Should we add the score of the overall winner? Meaning this. You
Ooh,
could
comprehensive.
Win.
Oh.
You could win this one, but maybe only by 2 points. I could win one by 20 points. Or vice versa.
If
the high score.
If Gary's down to do some quick
math. We'll try to do it.
I didn't even understand that, but I'm in favor of it.
I did a horrible job of explaining it, but what I'm saying is if...
Oh, like how close you are overall.
So then it's like golf scoring?
Yeah, at the end we're going to have a number.
Right.
Oh, so you want to do a golf style, like lowest score wins?
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to reveal our score for this movie then?
Oh, okay.
Is that what we're
Or we'll just say it out. You want to just say it out loud?
Yeah. I guess 81%.
Wow. That feels incredibly high to me. I'm going to say 67%.
And I guess 51%.
51%? The point goes to Bald Brian.
God damn it, Brian. When you said this is not a good movie.
83%.
Fuck yeah, 83%.
What are you talking about? What a piece of shit it is.
Yeah.
Hold on. Flash that again.
Was that
score?
Strategy or are you just
a jerk? 89%. I had it written down wrong. Sorry.
Hold on. The audience, 67%.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not a good movie. This was all received, though.
Wait a minute. I said 67%. I should get something for being simpatico with the audience. Yeah. So wait a minute. This is not a good
participation
movie.
Trophy.
It was 89%.
Yeah. Wait.
Certified fresh. Oh, you're crazy. It's a great.
Go back and watch it. You tell me how good
if
it
he's
is.
Crazy
it is
good. Next it's time, you tell us.
Yeah, he can't do that.
All right.
Yeah, we're throwing that one out.
Bullshit, we're throwing it out.
You talked it
you
down
said
the
it
whole
wasn't
time.
Good.
It's not good.
Look, you can see the etching of the 74 I had there that I erased when you said it's not a good movie. I trust you because of Baldywood.
All
I don't
right.
know why.
Now, Brian's in first place, and I'm in second place, I guess.
And I'm in third place.
All right, here we go.
Okay, another superhero sequel. Blade 2.
Ooh. Mm. Never saw either Blade. All right.
Neither did I, actually.
Snipes. This one's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
It's Blade versus a group of vampires being hunted down by a second set of vampires that feed on vampires.
What year is this we approximately here?
Blade
05
2,
or something?
I believe, is 03, I believe.
03.
I could be wrong.
All right. 02? I have no idea at all, but I'm going to say because it's the modern era, it's down. I'm going 61.
Ooh.
And I'm going 76.
I went 58, very close to you.
Mm-hmm.
The score is 59%.
No, son of a bitch!
Wow. Wow. Right there. Right there. All right, so wait, you went 58?
58.
And 59, I went 61. So Gary's fucking busting his... Self open over there. Wait a minute. Allison, what were you?
59. I was 76.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, see, I was trying to throw you saying it was Guillermo del Toro.
Brian, still directed. Leading. Mm. Here
I need
we
bigger
go.
Throws.
All right. Next up, X2, X-Men United.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw this one. Thought it was entertaining.
This is the one that Brian Cox is in. And trying to still get to the bottom of how Wolverine.
Oh, X-Men.
Lost. Yeah, it's
oh,
X-Men.
That shit.
In my opinion, one of the best comic book movies ever.
Really?
Yeah, this is a good one.
This is a really good movie.
Now, wait a minute.
That's in my opinion.
Is this
the
one?
Thought.
Wait a minute. Is this the one that had all the Hulk and everyone in it?
No,
that's Avengers.
Oh, that's Avengers. Shit. What do I know? All right, Brian, you kick it out. You're leading.
I'm going to go high 70s and say 77%.
All right. Just because I had a 2 behind it, I'm going to go 74%.
And I'm going 81 because I don't give a fuck.
All right. What do we have for the score? You guys have the score? The score is 87%.
Wow.
This is really good movie.
Thank you.
All right. Now Allison wins that round, but still overall leader in the clubhouse, I think, would have to be Brian.
You were close on that one, too. You're only 15 points off.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay. This one. Higher score. I'll give you a hint. The Dark Knight, the second of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. This is the one that was Heath Ledger's last film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Couldn't pick a worse category for me. I've not seen any of these movies.
You never saw Dark Knight?
No.
I like it. It's really well done.
I know. I don't like any superhero movies almost at all.
The thing that would make Adam crazy is the scene where the semi goes end over end. Mm-hmm. I know that you would not be able to get past that because it like it hits a rope and rather than just crumple,
it goes over.
It doesn't end up.
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm already angry. All right. I'm going to say 89.
This was the one they want. They were hoping we get Best Picture nomination, and may have tipped it from the five nominees
right,
to the multiple.
Yes.
So I say 93.
Mm, and I said 90. We are all bunched up.
You're all a little low.
Wow.
94%.
I was way off.
Wow. Wow. Wait, no, who just won that?
I got 93.
Did. 93. All right. Wow. The leader in the clubhouse.
Never doubt me again. But anyway.
All right.
Last one. I'm ending with a good one.
All right, here we go.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
Mm.
Ghost Rider.
Oh, now.
Ghost Rider 2.
Oh, now. Adam.
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Your sweet spot.
Yes. Saw the first one. Still angry about the goalpost to goalpost or field goal to field goal 300 feet. Mm. New record thing.
Right. This is the sequel.
Wildly egregious.
He pisses fire.
Yes.
Literally.
I am going to go 32.
Probably too high. I said 44.
I said 33.
Ooh.
And Adam, you said 32?
32.
Adam is the closest. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance,
17%. 17.
Ouch.
All right.
That may have knocked me out of the running.
I may have finally won one.
30-something points.
Thank God I argued so vehemently for not going over and being bumped. But Brian had to be the overall winner by at least 22, 23 points there combined. You got that added up? What do we got there?
I missed one of Brian's.
Oh.
Oh, right. Too bad.
A hollow victory for Brian then.
But a victory
a hollow
nonetheless.
Shell
that was
of a victory.
Fun game.
That was a hoot.
Like that.
Well, I'll come back with next week with another themed list. Hopefully, Adam will have seen some of the movies.
What is Matt? What's out there right now? What's going on with that Redford movie that Brian saw?
All is lost.
All is lost.
And I'm trying to get a hold of him and trying to interview him for this Newman doc. And here's going to be in town. Is that thing going to? Is it getting a wide release? Is it a limited release?
It will get
right
a wide
now?
Release eventually. Yeah. I think that it's going to be another couple of weeks before it goes wide. I think that you could probably put decent money on him taking home Best Actor for that.
Because, really?
Yeah. And part of it is it's not – you have to – I've talked with you about this before. Guessing the Academy or predicting the Academy Awards isn't about who's best. It's about predicting how the Academy is going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people believe that they'll look at Redford saying it's late in his career. He's never won Best Actor. Let's give it to him while he's still alive.
Oh, yeah. You definitely – there's definitely that part. And it's got to be one of those things. We should all hope we get in this position. Like – you do something in life. Maybe you win student body president or something or whatever it is. You have the number one podcast, whatever it is. Certified Fresh Award. And then some douchebag tries to make you feel bad. We're going, it's really just a popularity contest. And you go, I always say, even better. Even better.
It is even better.
I'd rather win the popularity contest than a pie-eating contest or student body president or treasurer.
You know how hard it is to get people to like you?
Anything. I go, it's really just a popularity contest. And God forbid, but we should all get to the point in our life when someone hands us Academy Award and someone snarkily says, that's really just a lifetime achievement thing. That's not for this movie. Like, good. Even better.
Yeah, I'm popular.
I mean,
that's
a crazy body of work. Because,
because the alternative would be, hey, you did something good, but no one likes you.
Yeah, you could be the crazy Italian name for Happy Feet, jumping up and down and dancing that we can't remember from 8 years ago. He has an Academy Award. He doesn't have the body of work. Roberto Benigni. You could be him.
Happy Feet?
Eh, you know what I mean.
Life is beautiful.
He did his little tap dance up there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Jumped on the back of the chair.
You're thinking of Cuba Gooding Jr.
He's thinking of Roberto Benigni walked on Steven
Spielberg. What I'm saying, I hope I'm 80, somebody hands me Academy Award for a bit part I did in a movie, and they go, it's really just a consolation gift for having an incredible body of work behind it. I'd go, yeah, better than just the one-for-one thing. So what do you think the best film is thus far of the year? And is it one of those things where 13 years a slave?
Yeah, 12 years a slave.
12 years a slave. I rounded up.
Don't add another year. The poor guy's a slave.
Hey, listen, with slaves, I go Baker's dozen.
Okay.
12 years a slave is probably get a good shot. Dallas Buyers Club. I think Gravity's got a really good shot. Gravity will have a good shot because the Academy likes to reward movies that do well at the box office.
Oh. Because
they like to feel mainstream.
And they want the people at home going, oh, I've seen that one.
Yeah. And the ratings are better if they nominate a bunch of blockbusters.
Uh-huh.
The ratings for the show are better.
Mm-hmm. Did you – I found – Brian loved the film. I loved the film too. Brian just said I loved it, and that was about all he said about it.
Talk about Gravity now or talk about –
Gravity. Gravity. And then I said at a certain point but I felt like the dialogue was weak in that movie. Like I felt like the dialogue was written by a 15-year-old boy.
Well, they're not native English speakers.
Well, it was weird. And then Brian chimed in immediately and said, yeah, the dialogue was weak.
Yeah.
And it was weird
because –
that's
the native English speaker thing, too. I was like, I wonder if Spanish is their first language.
But
it's Cuarón. Those guys are from Mexico. It's Alfonso and his son.
It felt very on the nose. Like all the dialogue in that movie felt very on the nose to me. And that was my only real beef with the movie. I loved the visual of it a lot. It just felt very on the nose. I don't know why. And maybe it was. Maybe it's literally a translation problem. We have the mount that Brian won by.
Yes, that's correct. So Brian won by 11 points.
You wouldn't enact the slaughter rule.
That last one where I missed by like 28 points was not good.
Yeah, that one screwed you. You're all four other movies combined were like 11 points less than that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, who was second place?
You.
First loser?
You.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
What was I?
Third place.
Oh.
The good news DFL. Here is you always podium, as right. they say, at the Corolla
That's,
show.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Take a couple of – sorry, Matt. Yes.
The bronze medal.
Yeah. You're always podium.
I'll take it.
Always podium.
Archie! Yeah. He names the flicks and the game makes flicks, Matt Archie. He's a swabby guy and when he drops by, the king has to guess. Do the critic scores make it rotten or fresh?
All right. Let's see. A couple of phone calls up there. First, stamps.com, baby. Oh, man, I've been telling you guys about Stamps.com. Great for your small business. Great for your medium-sized business. Rarely spoken of. Got a guy named Joseph. He's the owner of CitizenBrick.com. He walked out of the post office one day, and he vowed never again. Never. He fell to his knees. This is hyperbole. This is how I paint pictures with my tongue. He fell to his knees, and he stretched his arms up to the heavens. Clouds parted.
Like Shawshank Redemption.
Thinking more like Gone with the Wind.
Oh.
But that too.
A desperate
yeah.
feeling.
With God yeah. as my witness.
Yes. Never again.
Never need stamps again.
Never go to the post office again. He prints now in his underpants. Still at the post office. In his underpants. In the dead of winter. No. At home. He does it from the comfort, safety, and smell. They never work that part in. You know
they
what I mean?
Don't.
They go the familiarity and the comfort and the safety and the whatever. What about the smell of the post office versus your own smell? You know what I'm saying? You're smelling a lot of other people's smells over there. Special offer. Use my name, Adam. You get the no-risk trial, $110 bonus offer. Includes digital scale, $55, free postage. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the home page and type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right. Take a couple of phone calls. Matt, hang out.
Matt.
And weigh in. Let's see. It's an interesting call. First jobs for my twins. Hillary, 30, Seattle.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, man?
Well, I was just wondering if you were going to make Sonny and Natalia work when they get old enough, and if so, what would their ideal jobs be in your mind to sort of teach them the important life skills, like how to be nice to people and talk to people and work hard?
It's just a waste of my time.
You know, it's going to be a tough sell because during Christmas when my wife went nuts with the gifts and Natalia went nuts tearing gifts open and the living room was just a mess with the wrapping paper and boxes and everything else, at a certain point, I just did like lazy dad thing and I just went, Natalia, $20 to clean up the living room, get all that newspaper, all that wrapping paper shoved in a bag. She's like, $20
after all this stuff.
Yeah, I don't think so. And
she's looking at the merch and she's going, I see the receipts, old man.
Yeah, and she just walked right away. So it's going to be tough to motivate. First off, I think we're all better people because we've all had shitty jobs. You have to have a shitty job. I don't think there's a person I like that never had a shitty job. If you really think about it, I want someone who was miserable that their uncle owned an asphalt company and they would do driveways during the summer. You know that thing? And they're like, oh, it was in Mississippi. It was during the summer. And I fucking was the guy who walked in front of the asphalt spreader with the hot mop and knocked all the shit off the whatever. And it's like, oh, my God. By the way, now appreciating the shit out of whatever job you have that has air conditioning and an ergonomically correct seat for you to sit at your desk, you know? The people that just went from super cool gig to super cool gig, for some reason, I don't know. They're just like a...
Well, then they complain about it. And you're
there's
like,
nothing... There's nothing there for me.
Do people start at super cool gigs?
Once in a while, I'll hear some asshole... Well, the first one is the something abroad. There's the guy who went to Spain for a year to study winemaking or something because his dad or his whatever. I want to fucking throttle that guy because, like, I went to Van Nuys to study carpet cleaning when you went to fucking Spain to study winemaking, you asshole.
That probably was hard work, though. You know what I mean?
Like, I studied cooking in France.
Yeah, I hate that. Hate that went somewhere. I would like it if they could have a job. We were talking about this on this podcast. We have decided that repetitive manual labor is a bad thing that should be farmed out to other people that are lesser than we are when there's much to be learned and experienced from that, even if it's uncomfortable. Just getting that, you know, I said I was writing about it in my new book, but when you work with your hands, you get calluses on your hands, and it's really sort of nature's way of saying, I'm going to protect you because you're going to get blisters on your hands, so I'm going to build these things up. So the bottom of your feet, you could step on something versus your underarm or your rib cage would be a completely different experience. This is shifting gears slightly, but there's an emotional side of this too, which is you want a job where your boss is a dick, where you have to do shitty, repetitive work to build up a little of that callus that you need in life.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. You're welcome. You see? You're building
now read
a
the
nice
news again.
Layer of on your frontal lobe, a nice thick layer of callus. Well, otherwise, I mean, we talked about it. We've talked about it before. Like, everyone feels like they're getting bullied. I told people I never feel like I'm being bullied. Maybe I am being bullied. I've had so many bosses and so many coaches calling me an asshole my whole life and my family as well that I built up a little callus. I don't feel the pain, just like you build up the callus on your hand. It's to protect you. So you want your kid, using the callus analogy, there's an emotional callus. And we use it as a negative, like, oh, he's just stepping right over dead bodies on the freeway, doesn't even look down. Like, not that kind of callus, but just a part where you're toughened up a little bit through the repetitive motion and through working with people that you may not want to work with, who might not treat you with the dignity that you feel you deserve. So I would sort of like my son and or daughter, it's pretty easy, just go to McDonald's. Just put 6 months in at McDonald's. That's all you need to learn about. And do what I do. You work the grill. You just work that grill at McDonald's. Your cuticles. My cuticles still smell like onions. It's still, to this day. Also,
it's fused with the onion.
No time passes more slowly than you standing over that grill. That griddle. You just standing there like what? A 7-hour shift, an 8-hour shift, just standing there, it just grinds. And it's all just repetitive, and it's all fast, and you have people waiting on you, and it's a sort of team thing. There's somebody up front. They're kind of the quarterback. You're sort of the lineman. You know, you're kind of in the trenches. There's this part where you're having to keep the, you know, where's the buns, pulling them down on the toaster and all that. And at the end, you've made nothing. And you've really done nothing other than realize I don't want to fucking do this And that's the most important part. I don't think I'd want them to have a job that they fell in love with and go, I'm never going to leave this place. I want that. But I want the same with relationships. Like, you don't want your kid going, hey, I met my sweetheart when we were 14 and now we've been married for 21 years.
I feel like it's, and this is my own experience, maybe that's why, but I think it's important to have a series of shitty relationships just to figure out what you want.
My fiancé Daniel.
Right. So I want my son to work at McDonald's and my daughter to date a white supremacist.
I did not see that coming. Mm-hmm.
Big dreams.
Mm-hmm. And listen, you gotta. You know, my feeling is we can kill two birds with one stone because Mayor McCheese may be a white supremacist. I don't know. He dresses in a certain way that suggests it is.
Very proper.
Mm-hmm. Comes down super hard on the Hamburglar.
That's right.
Fascist.
It could be. I'm just saying.
Right. Makes Grimace sit outside.
Yeah, I think he wears a sash. It's very, 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 very fascist looking. I got to see a picture of Mayor McCheese. All right. Easy, McDonald's. You just go to McDonald's. 6 months, they'll be the worst 6 months of their life, and then they'll die to do anything else. But again, they got to work the grill. I don't know why. I don't know who makes the decision of whether you're cash register material or grill material. I'm sad to say that. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a white supremacist right there.
Mm-hmm. He also looks
that's
like
a grand wizard outfit.
The villain from Strawberry Shortcake a little bit.
I was about to say that. But I didn't want to
purple
say,
pie man of Porcupine Creek or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me with those young eyes, Gary. So, Hussein, could you please find a photo? I know that you only do this when Adam asks, but I feel like a side-by-side would be great.
He's got spats. He's got he's got like those sort of Teddy Roosevelt snap-on glasses with no – I don't know who decided that the – arms of glasses were way too cumbersome.
And is it weird that a living cheeseburger is encouraging people to eat cheeseburgers?
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Man. Yeah, it's a weird message.
It's like when they brought the little chicken girl in when they started selling chicken nuggets. And it's like,
yeah,
eat pieces of me.
I don't know.
All right, I'm wrong.
We got the purple right.
Again, I don't know how the decision goes and to put someone behind the grill versus behind the thing. You'd think me, you know, with my matinee idol good looks and my chatty wit, I'd be
perfect. Yeah, I mean, you'd brighten everyone's day.
Yeah, I'd be perfect for the register. Mm. It was decided that I would have no contact with the public.
Did they give you a little quiz or anything? Or
you'd think there'd be a Wonderlic test involved for McDonald's. No, I...
Adam, you scored a six. Out of six?
Ryan Leaf scored slightly higher than you. I went to the Taco Bell. I put in an application because it was within striking distance of my dad's house. It was on Colfax and Magnolia, and I could walk there. So as the book title goes, it was rejected from the Taco Bell. So I went and... took my services over to the McDonald's and I filled out the application. They took me and all I did was watch a training video in the basement and they put me right behind that grill and I never left the grill. And all I remember, my manager's name was Ken and he would just say, time to lean, time to clean, which meant get going. And the biggest battle I had with Ken was I did not want to wear the all-plastic smock that they would put over you to work the grill because I was already sweating my ass off, and you're already wearing – it's the worst fabric ever. You're wearing polyester, and then you're wearing, like, polyester pants, and they had a fucking thing, like some horrible ordinance back then, a rule that said you have to wear leather-soled shoes. You cannot wear rubber-soled shoes. Doesn't make sense. Their plan is...
What are you, in Hawaii, walking on the volcano?
I don't know. They didn't want guys with beat-up tennis shoes in their outfit. You know, it's a very upscale place. No, the reality is the leather shoes I didn't own.
We got an image to maintain here.
I had the shoes I wore for ninth grade graduation, which I didn't fit in anymore, but I stuffed my feet in because I was wearing these like wingtip suit shoes. And I was standing there sliding around, and then I'd have to pull this plastic thing. And I would always conveniently forget to put it on because I was melting behind the grill. And Ken would always come around and go, like, where's your, you know, where's your smock? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, that. Oh, I forgot the smock. Well, go get it, you know, and I'd have to go get the smock. And at some point, I'd slide it off again because I was fucking melting behind the place. All right. Questions, answers. So you guys agree, right? Shit job? The a shit job?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. The one thing I would say is either that or get a job in customer service because it'll change how you treat people in the future, the rest of your life, whether it's in restaurants or grocery stores or whatever, or something where you learn a life skill while you do it. I worked as an assistant for like an electrician, and I would haul heavy shit all over the San Francisco Bay Area. But I learned all the freeways, and I learned all the side streets to get places and the best way to park, you know, in this alley and that alley. And it was helpful down the road for learning, you know, just how to get around. So if you can learn another life skill as an ancillary benefit, I would say that's a nice thing.
ZORO.com. Find everything for your business, any size, almost any industry. Tools and equipment, safety, office and cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. Brands you know and trust, Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Rubbermaid, just to name a few. I order all my stuff from these guys. Amazing customer service, real people based in the U.S. Fast free shipping on orders of $50 or more. So $50 or more, free fast shipping. Visit Zorro.com/Adam. Sign up for their Zmail. Get 15% off your first order. If you got a business or you're just running a household, medium, small, whatever the business, whatever the household, go with Zorro. Zorro.com/Adam.
And that was the debut of the Rotten Tomatoes game. We only played it after that just because Rich Banks worked so hard on that.
So, yeah, the game's not any good. Nobody likes it.
Yeah.
You were there for that. You know, this is one of the newer bits that isn't radio show carryover. Do you remember the inception of it?
I totally do. This is before the 5-point deduction.
Oh, yeah, before all the fancy rules.
And it was one of the things that just really clicked. Like, when we started playing it.
What about the plotting, though? Like, how did you guys decide to make this game? How did that all happen?
Matt actually had a lot to do with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So finally, he wanted to have a bit when he came in.
Yeah. Because he used to come in just to talk about movies, upcoming movies and stuff he saw, what he thought of it.
Kind of like Brian's Bollywood segment, but more of a group thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a panel style thing. He decided to try this game out, and it just fit perfectly into the format of the show. Because what I love about it is it sparks discussion. Like, if people think, oh, we just do it to play the game and see who wins. But each movie will spark some sort of discussion, and it's still going strong. All right, before we get to this last clip, got some plugs for you. First off, Adam Carolla is going to be in Reno December 7th, Virginia Street Brewing, for Adam Carolla's and Prepare for the Holidays. He'll also be doing that in Oxnard at Levity Live December 13th and 14th. So get tickets now. No safe spaces, playing at a theater near you. Find out where that is and what time that is by going to nosafespaces.com. And if you have Netflix, the 24-Hour War is on there. And Adam's newest documentary, Shelby American, is now on there as well. All right, this last clip features great indie rock band, Silver Sun Pickups.
It was an episode with Damon John, Adam Carolla Show 1737. He's not in this. It's Silver Sun Pickups, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. It's from January 2016. Another listener request from Jeff R. He writes, hi, Gio. If memory serves, Silver Sun Pickups played a song or two in studio. Would love to hear on Carolla Classics. Well, Jeff, you got your wish. Adam Carolla Show 1737. Silver Sun Pickups live in studio. Check it out.
All right, what are we going to hear?
All right, this is called Nightlight. You ready, Nick?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right.
Joel's here. You guys got to split.
Swell,
lights on the daytime to scare. And if we say that
we want it,
you only want it with the lights out. If it's a game, well,
we got it.
You only want it with the lights out. If we enter through the front door with the keys we stole the night before, are we afraid to be the master of the tingles of disasters? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to beware. If this is the moment now to ask, do we dare? And if we say that
we want it,
we only want it with the lights out. If it's a game, well,
we want it.
We only want it with the lights out. If we survive this,
we want it.
We only want it with the lights out. So dedicated.
We want it.
We only want it with the lights out. Turning our night lights on in the daytime to scare. This is the moment now to ask, do we dare? And if we say that
we want it,
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 we want it, and if we say that
we want it.
If it's a game, well,
we want it.
If we survive this,
we want it.
We only want it with the lights out. And if we say that
we want it,
we only want it with the lights out. If it's a game, well,
Silver Sun pickups are Better Nature, available now on Amazon. All right, let me hit Mercari, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. It's all coming up these days. Here's another chance. You can sell your shit Sunday. How about that? Created by Mercari. You got a bunch of stuff. You don't know what to do with it. It's clogging up your house. It's looking like Bob Evans' place over there after a big party. They got an app. It's a Mercari app. It makes selling your stuff fast and easy. Just take a few pics, add a description, and it's listed. Mercari even emails a shipping label when it sells. No awkward meetups. 500,000 plus reviews. Positive reviews on the app store, and average 4.8 in the ratings department. So that's pretty darn good. Finally, an app that makes you money. Check out Mercari and make every day sell your shit Sunday. That's what it says. The day, the day's made up, but the money's real. That's Mercari. It's the app, and it's the selling app. It's Mercari.
And that was Silver Sun Pickups, playing that great song right in studio.
More live and studio music, Chris. What are you guys doing? I need new ones.
So fun. All right, thanks everybody for listening to Cruel Classics. We really appreciate having you here. We'll be back tomorrow, so make sure to tune in. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.